We get things rolling this afternoon by getting on board the telephone and welcoming into the program our friend Gary Tangway of NBC Sports Boston. Hello there, Gary.
Richie, how are you doing? And I just have to say, I'm so jealous that you met Jeff Daniels.
Man, was he a nice guy and put on a terrific show. He is, and you've done movies, you've worked with actors before. He about as down to earth. If you said to yourself, gosh, I bet that Jeff Daniels is a really nice guy in person, in the time we spent with him, he was exactly that guy.
I've never heard a bad thing about him. It's kind of you to say I've worked with some people on a limited basis, but, you know, I do know people that have worked with him, you know, like Bobby Farrelly or some of the people that have been on the sets with Dumb and Dumber, and just the best. I mean, the best because, you know, what really tells you a lot about Jeff Daniels, in my opinion, is, you know, the fact that he's this great dramatic actor. Godless was tremendous. Mm. And I love The Newsroom, and I love everything he's in. And then, you know, he goes and he does Dumb and Dumber 2, you know. And now that's a guy that takes his work seriously but doesn't take himself seriously, and he's okay with me.
Yeah, the last time he was on with us was right about that time. The Newsroom was wrapping up its final episode, and Dumb and Dumber 2 had just come out. And he said, this is what I love about my career, that in the same month, I get to put the wraps to this amazing experience I've had with Aaron Sorkin's words, and I get to go play with people I love and have a great time with this idiot character in Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, no, he's good for you. He's the best.
He is, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what else is the best right now. This Red Sox team, good Lord, an old-fashioned butt-kicking this weekend.
It was awesome, and I don't know if the younger generation can really appreciate it like you and I can. I don't mean to go all George Hale old bastard on people here, but, you know, it's just such a pleasure to always crush the Yankees, because if we go back to Bucky Bleepin' Dent and, you know, in 75 when Mickey Rivers, Greg Nettles, and the whole Bill Lee thing and Lou Piniella and the smashing into Fisk at the plate, and actually that was 76, but, you know, Bill Lee's shoulder was never the same.
Right.
In Boston after that. And, you know, just this hatred for the Yankees in that it's just always great to see. It's awesome. It never gets old for me.
No, and I don't hate this particular bunch of Yankees. They're a good team. I like and respect most of their guys. But it was fun, and the way they did it was fun with some great pitching and then the comeback last night. So with a 9.5-game lead, is this thing over?
You know, As the fan, I will say yes. But Evan Drellick has a great article up, and Lou Maloney just walked in, and Lou's in, and he'll be on the show tonight, and I'm sure he'll have something to say about it. Drellick at NBCSportsBoston.com spells it all out, and he said, "Look, this is great, but you know, I think 6 more games with the Yankees, plus Houston, plus Cleveland. If the Yankees do the same thing to the Red Sox, you know, then we have a series." I personally think it's over. I think Evan's got a great piece that, you know, everybody should take a look at. But it's just my gut feeling is that this Red Sox team has a little magic going. And we've seen it before. We saw it in 04. We've seen it in 2013. 07 was just a juggernaut. They were loaded. But there's this magic about them that I just feel things are going their way. I mean, Eovaldi comes back and he looks like flipping Cy Young. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, and here you go, Dombrowski's like going, you know, well, this is the guy we really want, and blah, blah, blah. And everybody's going, yeah, baloney, get out of here. No way. And then he's like Dombrowski looks like the GM of the year. I mean, you know, all this stuff is happening. J.D. Martinez has replaced David Ortiz.
Yep.
Not as a personality, but as a hitter, obviously. You know, the one thing that the people were right about, I mean, Trenny talked about it, Luke talked about it, and Evan talked about it, and they're correct, was they're worried about the bullpen. And, you know, and I thought that was going to be, you know, I thought that maybe that might be an issue in this series, but they, you know, they rallied and they swept them, and there's some magic going on with this team. That's all I can tell you. You know, and Cora's good. They're having fun. Cora's got them light. They're, you know, and baseball's a game like golf, you know, like you got to be loose. You know, if you're tight,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work. It's not like hockey, you know, or football, you know, but if you're loose and you know, and nothing's bothering you, I mean, that works in baseball. And that's just kind of, I that's why I feel it's over. You know, all the other points that my colleagues have made tell us it's not, but that's what I'm going with.
Well, and I thought the best part of last night happened before the comeback, and that's the great outing from David Price.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's the really, I mean, they, even if they lose and they take three or four, I mean, Rich, you're absolutely right. That's the story. Yeah. I mean, that's the story because, I mean, he was snake bitten. You know, he had to get that out of his head because obviously, again, you know, there's another example. I mean, if that guy's tight, it's not going to work. If he goes out and is free and easy and loose, then he's going to have a good outing. So hopefully that clears his mind.
And you mentioned the bullpen, and no, they didn't go out and get the big guy at the deadline. There's still some people they could get through waivers, I'm sure, but all of a sudden, Matt Barnes has been very solid of late. Ryan Brazier comes out of nowhere, for God's sakes, and looks like, I don't know, Soup Campbell coming out there right now.
Soup Campbell, hey, Soup's on. You know, but me and the mid-inning guys, middle-inning reliever guys, you know, I just look. To me, it's like playing a lottery, you know, and I know that you have your specialist, your seventh or eighth inning specialist, but I still believe if they're that good, they're a closer or they're a starter. There's a reason why they're in the middle, because they're not good enough to be either one. So you're rolling the dice on all these guys anyways, and I've just seen middle inning relievers come into different situations and for whatever get hot or they get cold. You know, that's why I don't get all upset about it. You know, like they didn't get a middle inning reliever. I'm like, really? Is that what we're pissed off about? To me, the key is, to me, the key is Price. And to your point, he was the key Sunday night. Price has to pitch well in the postseason. Sale has to pitch well in the postseason. The bats will take care of themselves. But it really comes down to those, and Porcello, too. Your starters have to pitch well in the postseason. That's it. You know, I don't think it's going to be because Dombrowski didn't get a middle inning reliever at the trade deadline. But everybody I work with disagrees with me. So,
now, does this team have to at least get to the World Series for this to be considered a successful season?
Well, I think that Houston, again, you know, it's not like I've seen a lot of the Houston Astros, but, you know, everybody thinks that they're still the better team. They're loaded with talent. They're, you know, they're not as good as they were last year, but they're still great. So, like, I think if, and I don't know how the playoffs will figure out, but, you know, if the Sox lost in a really good series against Houston, I'm okay with that, you know, because, I mean, you know, that could be considered the World Series, actually.
Mm.
So that I'm okay with that.
We're talking to Gary Tanguay, NBC Sports Boston. Patriots preseason rolling along today. A farewell to Malcolm Mitchell, who certainly was a key part of this team for a while, but the injuries seemed to get the best of him.
Well, you know, they drafted him in the fourth round, and I think if you put Bill on a lie detector test, he'd say, you know, we're happy with what we got. You know, they knew he had knee problems. It's a fourth round pick. He's a great kid. It's too bad. He's got a ton of talent, and the injuries hurt him. And again, if he wasn't injured, he probably would have been a first or a high second-round pick, you know? But obviously, he was a really good player, and it's just the knees aren't there. And it's really too bad. I hate to see that for a kid. You know, you'd like to see a guy make some money, to make a little bit of money before the health hits, but unfortunately, it didn't work out for him.
Randy Moss in the Hall of Fame over the weekend and got a surprise visit from the flip-flop wearing Bill Belichick and Bob Kraft. What is it about Moss that seemed to endear him to Belichick?
Randy, in a lot of ways, was childlike. And I mean, Moss had his moments that were kind of infantile, you know, but Randy Moss is not a bad person. You know, he was always... I didn't know. I mean, I would say hello to him, but he was always nice to the media. I mean, he was never arrogant. I mean, he was always just very pleasant. He just kind of had this diva receiver thing at times going on where he would just, you know, check out. And I just think that Randy came in and he did what he was told. And he gave this team everything he had. And I think that Randy is one of those guys that needed to be with great players and coaches. If he wasn't with a great, like when he was in Oakland, he goes, these guys suck. When he came in with Brady, when he came in with Belichick, he was like, okay, I'm with guys that are on my level. And when he was with guys on his level, he played, he performed. I mean, you know, Brady would, I mean, he would give Randy an earful of practice. I mean, you know, with Tom, there's no favorites. If you run the wrong route, he is going to chew your butt. And he would do it to Randy. And Randy knew, you know, okay, this is the guy that can do it. Same thing with Belichick. And the reason that they let him go is he didn't have anything left in the tank. I mean, he went on to Oakland, then Minnesota, then he bounced around a little bit. But Bill knew when they traded him back to Minnesota or to Minnesota that he didn't have the step anymore. He didn't have the speed. And his career was over. That's why they traded him. I mean, Moss was never a problem in the locker room
right.
at all. He was good with the young receivers. I mean, everybody liked him. So I think that's why Bill and Kraft went.
It's early still in preseason, but Hoyer has not looked great so far. Is there any concern that if something were to happen to Brady, they maybe can't depend on their only other guy there right now with any experience?
Oh, they're screwed. They're so screwed. I mean, yeah, there's a big concern, you know, and then they're back, you know, Plan B's in San Francisco. If Jimmy replaces Tom, you know, you're not as good, but you're still a contender. But, I mean, if Brady goes down, forget about it. I mean, they got nobody. I mean, Brian, Bill really likes his head. He's one of those guys that, like, he's a good practice player. Just he gets in games, and it's just been a disaster. Yeah, I think if Brady got hurt, they got to bring in somebody else.
Never should have let your guy go, Jacoby Brissett.
I know. I had a good time with that one. Giardi and these guys, I said, all I said was Jacoby Brissett is going to start in the NFL. And he did. He just did it with the Colts.
Yeah. Hey, so it's nice to be loved by a Boston sports legend, Upton Bell, our friend Upton, all over you.
I love Upton.
He's great.
He's the best. He's so great. I mean, Upton, he has so many stories. His father, obviously, a key part of the NFL. Upton ran the Patriots. And I used to just love Upton with Bob. Bob Lobel, and calling all sports. And then they did the sports writers, Sports Beat, right, on TV 38.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just the best. It's just busting chops. He's a great guy. He's a great, great guy.
Absolutely. Hey, so who's on tonight? You mentioned Lou's on Early Edition with you. Who else?
We got everybody. I mean, this is Mike Giardi's last day here at NBC Sports Boston.
What?
Mike Giardi is moving. You want to keep his number in your Rolodex. Mike Giardi is moving over to be the Patriot correspondent for the NFL Network.
Wow, I had no idea.
It's a great job for Mike, and we're going to miss him greatly. But he's not really going anywhere. He's just changing mic flags. So Mike is a great guy and a hardworking reporter, and it's a great move for him. And it's a loss for us, and it's a gain for them.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, he'll be on. So, you know, we'll have some stupid schmaltzy video at the end, and Trenny will cry.
And you're back to being the handsomest guy at NBC Sports Boston with him gone.
Yeah, no, I don't know about that. Karen thinks he has me beat, but, you know. But Lou will be on. Phil Perry, you know, guys in Foxborough. And just chewing up the Sox. And you know, Drellick will be good. Drellick's got a lot of good stuff to say. He's all over this series, so he'll be good tonight.
All right, we'll be watching tonight, NBC Sports Boston. Gary, we thank you. As always, we'll do it again soon.
Rich, thank you, my friend. I'll see you soon.